Father in heaven, thank you that you grant us the faith to believe and to never forsake you. May our faith grow, mature, and develop and express itself as we spend time with you in your word and the various ways in which we receive that word, and that you would help us now to be blind and deaf to all distractions that would prevent us from hearing and being instructed by the Holy Spirit as we open your word. So God, help us to set, at times, preconceived assumptions aside and to hear your word afresh for exactly what it means and how it applies. In Christ's name we ask, amen. We come to the part of Colossians, his letter to the Christians, to the very practical application of what he has been teaching prior to that. Application specifically for relationships. For there isn't a person here that doesn't have some kind of a relationship, right? That's what life's about. It's about some type of relationship. And because our nature is selfish, we need to understand them. We need help. And because man is very selfish, and because he seeks after his own desires and own pleasures, and so on and so forth, Paul gives us some good advice in beginning with verse 17 of Colossians chapter 3. Whatever you do, stop there. Whatever you do, what does that exclude? Nothing. Okay, so whatever you do, whether in word or deed, in speech or action, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Simply put, we are God's representatives, if we call ourselves Christians. We are representing God 24/7, at work, at school, vacation, leisure, whatever and whatever it is, you and I represent God Almighty, Jesus Christ, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now that's not difficult, is it, on Sunday morning? Because on Sunday morning, we usually have our best on. Our face, our words, our actions, and everything else. Because it's Sunday, right? Sunday's the day to be in God's house. And we put on that, sometimes we put on that mask and fool people. It is harder to do that Monday through Saturday. Because we're in the world, we're rubbing shoulders with people who are not redeemed, we get mad, we get frustrated, we get irritated, we get depressed, things don't go our way, and it is a lot more difficult at times to be a witness and giving thanks to God when you hit your thumb with a hammer, not once but twice in the same place, or you stub your toe, or what you made didn't work, or any number of things that you can think of that makes you discouraged. It's hard to say, thank you, Lord. But that's the principle that God has laid down, to do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, not for ourselves, not for man, but for him, and to give him thanks. Jesus set the standard, not just by saying it, but by doing it, didn't he? So he laid the standard by actually doing it for us. And then, after that, he comes to the part of Colossians in the Bible that many people don't want to hear, but it has a lot to do with relationships. It has everything to do with relationships between a man and a woman, a husband and a wife. Verse 18 says, wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting to the Lord. Now, I've been asked in the past, Pastor, when you read scripture for our wedding, don't read that one. And it's parallel one in Ephesians chapter 5. Don't read that. Okay. Okay. The word submit is a word that I imagine turns the stomach of many women, wives, in America. And part of that, I believe, is because we take that word submit and we interpret it according to our 21st century post-Christian Western understanding. And that's not what it means. And we'll get to that in a minute. The word submission is an attitude, first of all. It is an attitude that recognizes the rights of authority. I think I have it in your notes. It is an attitude that recognizes the rights of authority, and therefore, in what Paul and God himself is saying here, is that the wife is to take second place to her husband in order of authority. And before you tune me out the rest of the time, let me say what it does not mean. Because I am sure for many people, not just here, but those who will listen on the radio, are thinking, submit? No way. Never in your life am I going to do something like that. Because they generally have the wrong understanding and impression. Submit, according to Scripture, according to God's standards, does not mean that the husband has the right to demean his wife, view her as inferior. He is not to be a domestic despot and rule the family with an iron fist. Submission here has absolutely nothing, zero, to do with worth or value. It has to do with divine order. In order for there to be unity and oneness, in order for everything to function normally in a marriage and in a family, there needs to be order and authority, right? You can't have two heads bucking each other all the time. There needs to be order, and that's what God does. He establishes rank. Not based on value, not based on education, not based on talent, not based upon economic status, job, or anything else. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with the order he established, primarily from the created order. Man was created first, woman second, and other things which is beyond the scope of this message. So imagine, we're beginning the football season, and so you're watching football, and you're watching the play develop. It's a passing play, and the quarterback steps back. He throws the ball, and it's an incomplete pass. Okay. So everybody comes, the offense comes back to the huddle, and there's four guys in that huddle, and they're arguing. I'm going to be the quarterbacker next. Now I'm going to call the play. Now I'm going to do it. Now I'm in. And they're just fighting back and forth. Who's going to be the next quarterback? Because obviously this guy can't get the ball to where it's supposed to go. Could you imagine that happening? That'd be crazy. That would be insane. But for the sake of unity, the rest of the team submits to the quarterback, even though he may not be the most athletic, strongest, fastest, or wisest individual on the team. They submit to his established authority in order to call the plays and follow those plays so that they can be successful and they can work as a team. And you've heard over and over again, sports teams, one person thinks it's all about them, right? I'm the best person, the most important person on the team. Give me the ball all the time, especially like in basketball. What does that end up doing? They're not going to win. Everybody else is going to get discouraged. God has established authority in order for there to be unity and things to work well. Did Jesus submit to anyone? He did. And it's recorded for us in Luke chapter 2, verse 51. Luke 2:51. Then Jesus went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to his parents. It's obedient, submission. He followed their orders. He did what they said. And that isn't the only example. But there is also one in 1 Corinthians. I did not write that in here, evidently. Did I? No. I didn't write it down. 1 Corinthians, I think, is 15-something. Anyways, we're in the end, after the second coming, Jesus will submit himself to God the Father. Is Jesus inferior to the Father? No. They're the same. Is he superior to the Holy Spirit? Third person. Remember, first person, second person, third person. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. There is a rank. There is authority. Is the Holy Spirit the weakest link of the three? Absolutely not. You're all equal. But you have to have authority for things to run properly and in unison. And Jesus is just extending that to the family, to the husband and the wife. And the wife willingly submits to a loving, worthy husband. And I find that most women are willing to do that, want to do that to a husband that is loving and caring and compassionate and so on and so on and so on. It is never to be demanded. A husband is never to pull this passage out of context and say, the Bible says you must submit to me, so woman, you better. And some men do that because the Bible says. But they never go to the next verse. And what does the next verse say? Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Ephesians, it says, love your wives as the Lord loves the church, or as Jesus gave himself for the church. Husbands, you've got more responsibility than the wife, and it's hard at times. What wife would not want to submit to a loving husband who cares and provides, respects, and so on and so forth to the wife? I don't think there's very many. But a man's natural concern, I think more than women, men, is selfish. We are selfish creatures. We all are, of course, but I think men can be more so than women. Hate to say that and hate to admit it, but I think we are. Because we have less the ability and character to know how to nurture relationships. We know how to nurture jobs. We know how to get things done. We know how to fix things. Relationships? Most of us men don't have a clue. What is a relationship? And the woman, the wife, needs to help us understand what it means to be in a relationship where we are able to care for one another. And I know you men are going to give me flack afterwards, but you know it's true deep down in your heart. So we need to die daily, a daily death to our own selfish character, and replace it with grace and love and provision. God has words for children. Children, are you listening? God has a word for children until you're out of the house. It's very simple. Doesn't take a PhD to understand. Children, obey your parents in... Thank you. In everything. For this pleases the Lord. You want to please the Lord? Children! You want to please the Lord? Obey your parents. It basically means this. Listen. Do what I say. Has any parent said that? Won't you listen to me and just do as I tell you? It would go a lot better. That's right out of the Bible. Listen to your parents and do as they ask. Do as they say. And this, of course, is within the context of a Christian home. The parallel is in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. Honor them. Show them respect. Not defiant, disobedient rebellion. Do as they ask. Learn. And if you really don't want to, do it anyways. Okay? Because life goes so much better. All right. In the context of the Christian family, God is not going to ask parents to tell your kids to do anything that is contrary to what Jesus would say or teach or has taught. Obeying God always comes first. But when you look at it, husband, wife, children, all submit. We are all under submission to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We all submit, so we all know what that is about. But children, obeying their parents, teaches them about God. Because the parents are there as his representatives to give them love and to learn obedience and to learn what God is like. That's a huge responsibility for parents. How many live up to being God's representative to their kids? Nobody can put their hand up. But yet that's where God has placed us. But he didn't place us there and say, good luck, I'm leaving. He says, I'm going to place you there and I'm going to be there to help you. So call upon me, pray for your kids so that God will make the difference up for our own stupidity, weaknesses, selfishness, and blindness. We need God because we can't do it right much of the time. Much of the time, though, we do things right. Not to diminish it, but we don't do everything perfectly. And we do need God's help. So it teaches them obedience and submission to God the Father. Okay? Handle children with care. In other words, discipline and love needs to be balanced. And all too often, there is more discipline and less love. Oh, if we love the kids, they'll just think they're getting away with everything and they'll, you know, they'll just do all the wrong things. Gotta beat sense into them. No, you don't. There needs to be a balance. Josh McDowell said many years ago, discipline without love leads to rebellion. Discipline without love leads to rebellion. And I would say love without discipline leads to spoiled brats. Yeah. Brats. Love without discipline leads to brats. Discipline without love leads to bitterness and rebellion. There are no perfect parents. None of us are. No one ever will be. And that's why we need the Lord's help and the Lord's strength. But I want to share with you in closing a letter written by none other than a mean mother. Anyone ever known a mean mother? Somebody said yes over here. All right. It's from a book, The Christian Family, by Larry Christensen. Some of you are familiar with Larry Christensen years ago. It was written in 1970, 49 years ago. So when you hear it, put that in the context of 49 years ago. Some of you weren't even alive. I had the meanest mother in the world, writes a housewife, who is now raising a family of her own. While other kids ate candy for breakfast, I had to eat cereal, eggs, or toast. When others had Cokes and candy for lunch, I had to eat a sandwich. As you can guess, my supper was different than the other kids also. But at least I wasn't alone in my sufferings. My sister and two brothers had the same mean mother as I did. My mother insisted upon knowing where we were at all times. You'd think we're on a chain gang. She had to know who our friends were and what we were doing. She insisted if we said we'd be home in an hour, that we'd be home in an hour or less, not an hour and 1 minute. I am nearly ashamed to admit it, but she actually struck us. Not once, but each time we had the mind of our own and did as we pleased. That poor belt was used more on our seats than it was to hold up Daddy's pants. Can you imagine someone actually hitting a child just because he disobeyed? Now you can see how mean she really was. We had to wear clean clothes and take a bath. The other kids always wore their clothes for days. We reached the heights of insults because she made our clothes herself just to save money. Why, oh why did we have to have a mother who made us feel different from our friends? The worst is yet to come. We had to be in bed by 9 each night and up at 8 the next morning. We couldn't sleep until noon like our friends. And so while they slept, my mother actually had the nerve to break the child labor law. She made us work. We had to wash dishes, make beds, learn to cook, and all sorts of cruel things. I believe she lay awake at night thinking up mean things to do to us. She always insisted upon our telling the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, even if it killed us. And it almost did. By the time we were teenagers, she was much wiser, and our life became even more unbearable. None of this tooting the horn of a car for us to come running. She embarrassed us to no end by making our dates and friends come to the door to get us. If I spent the night with a girlfriend, can you imagine she checked on me to see if I was really there? I never had the chance to develop or never had the chance to elope to Mexico. That is, if I had a boyfriend to elope with. I forgot to mention, while my friends were dating at the mature age of 12 and 13, my old-fashioned mother refused to let me date until the age of 15 and 16. 15. That is, if you dated only to go to a school function. And that was maybe twice a year. Through the years, things did not improve a bit. We could not lie in bed sick like our friends did and miss school. If our friends had a toeache, a hangnail, or other serious ailment, they could stay home from school. Our marks in school had to be up to par. Our friends' report cards had beautiful colors on them, black for passing, red for failing. My mother, being as different as she was, would settle for nothing less than ugly black marks. As the years rolled by, first one and then another of us was put to shame. We graduated from high school. With our mother behind us, talking, hitting, demanding respect, none of us was allowed the pleasure of being a dropout. My mother was a complete failure as a mother. Out of four children, a couple of us attended college. None of us has ever been arrested, divorced, or beaten his spouse. Each of my brothers served his time in the service of his country. And whom do you blame for the terrible, terrible way we turned out? You're right, our mean mother. Look at all the things we missed. We never got to march in a protest parade, nor take part in a riot, burn draft cards, and a million and one other things that our friends did. She forced us to grow up into God-fearing, educated, honest adults. Using this as a background, I'm trying to raise my three children. I stand a little taller, and I am filled with pride when my children call me mean. Because you see, I thank God He gave me the meanest mother in the world. Things have changed, but not much. Man's nature is the same. Children are the same. And they have the same stubborn, rebellious, selfish nature that you and I have growing up. But they also need parents like the meanest mother here to teach discipline, respect, honor, and so many other things. It doesn't come natural to kids. They can't just give them food, clothing, swish them off to school or the playground and say, grow up. Doesn't happen. Because they just simply grow up according to the sinful nature that we all have. And then when they get older and they get into big trouble, we think, what are you doing that for? Where did that come from? Now, that doesn't guarantee that everybody is going to be a model child. It doesn't. But we've been given as from God, as parents, a responsibility to do our utmost to discipline, teach, instruct, and love our children and teach them the ways of the Lord. All we can do is stand before God, do our best, and pray for His mercy, His grace, and His forgiveness. For they are His kids. They're not ours. As hard as that is sometimes to believe, sometimes we would like to give them back, but they're not ours. Your kids are not yours. God has given them to you, to all of us, grandkids included, on loan. On loan. like everything else in this world, including our life. We're His. So let us look to the Lord with His simple and practical, down-to-earth instructions and understand them according to the biblical context, not the 21st century post-Christian Western understanding, but God's understanding. Father in heaven, You have given us some difficult challenges, but yet You have given us principles that when implemented to the best of our ability and by Your grace and strength will go miles in bringing unity, oneness, and health to marriages and children and the next generation of Christian children who will serve You and country with their whole heart. God help us. In Jesus' name, amen.